that there may not be isolated incidents that should not occur. But what it does mean for the first time in my recollection, as an Atlanta native almost, the black community is not up in arms about being oppressed and repressed by a police department. It is because we understand the necessity of the politics of inclusion. The Nation of Islam, with its great leadership, and the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad, has moved now in a way which I know, although no one has told me, must have resulted in the Chief Minister being subjected to undue and unwarranted criticism, even by some of those who may have supported him originally. But the visionary is one who sees beyond our normal capacity to see. There was a time when the Nation of Islam excluded whites. You've made a decision to change that. I'm glad you did. But that's your decision. That's your judgment. But I want you to know that as we look across this audience today, we may be able to count on two hands the number of white people in this room. But there were meetings in my office, the staff of Commission E aggressively pursued support of the Southern Jubilee. I was proud to act as convener of two or three meetings in an attempt to bring together white and black Atlantans around this occasion, to bring together Jews and Gentiles and Muslims around this occasion. There are many great, warm, and understanding Atlantans who happen to be white, but they are not here today, regrettably. And the only thing I think we can say about the Southern Jubilee, even though we have an admixture of religions, Baptist, Methodist, and Episcopalian, Presbyterian, AME, CME, you name them, here with the Nation of Islam, there is not the level of biracial activity that I'm sure all of us would want it to have seen, but understand one thing, that you made the attempt. You did not close the door. It is not your fault that this audience is as it is. However, this audience is as beautiful as any audience I ever have seen anywhere. There is a need to have a two-way street racially in this country. People are reaching out more and more, even though there is a sound and healthy quasi-paranoia. You know, if you walk down the street every day for 300 days, and you pass by the same person, and every day for 300 days, that person, as you pass by, knocks you in your head. On day 301, if you do not jump, then you are sick. Now, African Americans are said to be paranoid sometimes because we are careful about whom we trust. I want you to know that when you get knocked in the head for 300 days in a row, you have a healthy skepticism. Despite the skepticism, Black America more and more is reaching out as a part of the politics and the morality of inclusion. When I became mayor of Atlanta, at the decision-making table, there were only two chairs there. The power structure and City Hall. That had worked well for many years. occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. It is not my wish to remove any of those chairs that were there before. I went to the business community and made it crystal clear, if you'll forgive that phrase, made it crystal clear that it was not my wish to remove their chair from the decision-making table. And that no matter what they did, I was going to leave that chair there. If they chose not to sit in it, that was their business. I'm proud to say that some have sat there. I'm also not surprised to say that some have not. But I also made it crystal clear that as we were leaving the chairs at the decision-making table which were there before, ours being a politics of inclusion and not exclusion, my job as mayor was to put some more chairs up to the decision-making table. That does not diminish the effectiveness of those that were there before. In fact, if unity is to work at all, and the Jubilee manifests our desire to be together, it is imperative that we broaden our base and broaden our base and broaden our base to include as many allies as we can. Some people have said that we don't need certain people in the struggle of African-Americans to be free. To be free of economic and racial oppression, I tell you that that is not true. We need everybody we can lay our hands on who understands our agenda and who understands that allies are to be relied on for support and not for leadership. We'll lead ourselves, but we need all the support and help we can get. As Julian Bond once said, if your house is on fire, and if somebody runs up with a bucket of water, do not ask him where he got it. Do not ask him who he is. Just make sure it's not gasoline and then pour it on. Minister Rahman did a great work in this city, has moved on to Houston, Texas. When duty calls. One of the great things about the Nation of Islam that I admire and respect is that you're not tied to any one personality in terms of capacity to deliver. If one soldier falls, there must be another to take his place or her place. That his place or her place. Minister Bachar comes in now, an humble man.
Yes, sir.
Who walks softly and in his mind, keen, sharp, valid, carries a very, very big stick. Nothing stays the same. The only permanent thing in life is change. Albert Camus, the great French philosopher, once taught that life does not seem to make sense. It seems at best to be absurd if the only thing waiting for us is death. If at the point when we acquire the greatest amount of wealth, the greatest amount of wisdom, greatest amount of education and experience, if the only thing then we do is die, why then, he asked, do we bother to live? He said that at least two things redeem life and help life to make sense. One is love, and the other is change. What kind of change? Any kind of change into which all of us can be involved. Guthrie and Dillard defined it as an obstinate daily revolt against the ordinariness of our lives. That's the capacity every individual has. Not everybody is going to be a chief minister. Not everybody is going to be a Martin Luther King Jr. Not everybody is going to be a Frederick Douglass or a Sojourner Truth. But everyone has the capacity engage in an absolute daily revolt against the ordinariness of our lives. if we involve ourselves in change, we will find that we can prevent our lives from becoming nothing more than absurd caricatures of meandering meaninglessness. When you stake out a claim on something you believe, when you put down your dollars where your mouth is, when you put down your vote where your soul lies, that one knows one is serious about the business before. It is my intention to involve the Nation of Islam in whatever degree and to whatever degree it wishes to be involved in the affairs of the city, because I represent all of the people of Atlanta, Georgia. A major and very important committee in the city called the OEDP, the Overall Economic Development Program Committee. I looked down the proposed list and I did not see the Nation involved. And I sent it back to the drawing boards to make sure that the people who have at least as good expertise, if not the best in the country, in economic development would be involved in helping this city to plan, to chart, to project its own economic development. And that's why the Nation, I'm proud to say, has agreed to participate. That's not the beginning and it's not the end. Not the end. I have the pleasure to issue a proclamation on behalf of all the people of the city. I did not come today to make a speech. I came today to show you that if you want to move toward unity in this city, the mayor of this city is going to stand with you every single step of the way. I don't want it to be said that your city has moved away from the people. I don't want it to be said that this administration does not deal in a truthful and valid and aggressive way with the needs of the least of these, our brothers and sisters. And I caution the people who are around me at all times, those who work with me on staff and otherwise, and commissioners, not to become preoccupied with having a big job. Don't start worrying about how much money you make. Careful not to get so big, that you get to be so big, that you get to be so big, that you get to be so big, that you forget about the people who made it possible for you to be so big. Proclamation, City of Atlanta, Office of the Mayor. I would like whomever will be receiving this to please come forward. Chief Minister, our city is honored by his presence, and now I'm delighted to issue on behalf of all the people of this great city, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, Gentile, Muslim, any other kind of religion you can name, all the races of Atlanta, all the people, rich and poor and black and white, a proclamation. City of Atlanta, Office of the Mayor. Whereas the Nation of Islam has joined hands with many members and organizations from both the spiritual and general community of Atlanta to sponsor the Great Southern Spiritual Life Jubilee of Atlanta, And whereas in it, an invitation has been extended to every element of goodwill within our community to lend any and all assistance which would help make a Jubilee a history-making success for our community. And whereas the future development of our city will require a reinforced moral and spiritual foundation. And whereas the primary objective of the Great Southern Spiritual Life Jubilee will be to bring together members of the community from every social level, racial background, and belief to attend collectively to the moral and spiritual needs of our community. And whereas the best interests of our community can be served through the efforts of these citizens responsible for developing this great project, the Great Southern Spiritual Life Jubilee and its related activities. And whereas through participation of all citizens, our community will be raised up as a direct result of this event. Now, therefore, I, Maynard Jackson, Mayor of the City of Atlanta, do hereby proclaim the week of August 22 to August 28, 1976, as the Great Southern Spiritual Life Jubilee Week in Atlanta, and urge our citizens to honor this time and its meaning. All praises are due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. This is indeed a great occasion and a great day. They often call Atlanta the Mecca of the South. Well, that's a very tall order to make Atlanta a Mecca. But when we've got leadership, as has been displayed here today, in the mayor of the city, the commissioner of the police, Dr. W. J. Stafford that has spoken, Reverend Barbara King that has spoken, Reverend Lee that has spoken, the teachings of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad and Divine Mind in Atlanta, we may not be able to duplicate Mecca, but we're going to be working to try to make this the Medina of the West. Understanding. At this time, we would like to bring to the podium an individual that's very well known, not only in the Atlanta community, but throughout America. We've always read and heard in news reports of regardless of the odds, not knowing the outcome, to stand up for human dignity. He really doesn't need a great introduction. All I need to do is tell you his name and you will automatically know what I'm talking about. I bring before you at this time an individual that has been in the struggle for civil rights and human rights for many, many years. He has faced the of police officers when we were going through that era. He has faced the dogs of Birmingham. He has been put in jail so many times until probably he don't even know how many times he's been in jail. But as always has been in helping poor people. And he's very concerned about the poor people of Atlanta and the poor people of the world. And he's always, you just identify to him a cause that the poor people are concerned about, then he involves himself
in those efforts. And when he was approached about the Life Jubilee, he immediately accepted the invitation to participate with us. And he's been very instrumental in bringing together the people that we have in the Omni here today. At this time, I bring to the podium Reverend Hosea Williams. My friends, please allow me to apologize for being late. As one great writer once said, all the armies are not as powerful as an idea whose time has come. Certainly, the time has come for the Jubilee. And this morning, I was honored to be the keynote speaker down in Tuskegee, Alabama. And they didn't call it the Jubilee, they called it the People's Day, but what they meant was the Jubilee. And I'm so honored to be here, because this is the day of the Jubilee, and this is what Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about when he was talking about, he said he'd been to the mountaintop. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about when he said, no longer will we just leave the black poor, but we will go to the Appalachia, and we will leave the white poor. We will go to Mexico and Texas and California, and leave the Chicago. We'll go to Chicago, New York, and leave the poor Puerto Ricans. We'll go to North Carolina and we will leave the poor Indians. Dr. King was talking about the coming of the Jubilee. Today is the day for the Jubilee. This is not just Richard Milhouse Nixon's day. This is also Brother John's day. This is not just Jimmy Carter's day. This is Reverend Andrew Young's day. This is all the day of God's children, my friend, and I'm so glad to be here. I know you're who you're here to hear. I'm here to hear our great leader and the wise one also. But let me say these few words about Atlanta chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I had a chance this week. I was brought up before a judge who tried to save me $200 for my manhood. He told me, and I was guilty of no crime. He told me, Jose William, I'm going to give you 20 days in jail or $200 fine. I said, no, you giving me 20 days in jail because that's what I'm going to make. I'm not going to save my manhood for $200. I'm saying this is the day of the Jubilee, my friend. This is our day. No longer is this Richard Nixon out there, George Wallace day. They got to be included. They have to be included. And I'm glad to be here today, and I'm so honored. That the nation of Islam is going to give the leadership. Those that form are not here today because it's not popular. But you stick with it. It's the day of the Jubilee. Well, they are not here today. They'll be here tomorrow. Don't worry. This is the day of the Jubilee. May God bless the words of Reverend Hosea Williams. And now as time runs on, as we continue to serve you the appetizers getting ready for the main course, we want to bring before you another minister of the Nation of Islam. We had Reverend Barbara King to come before you, and some people got different thoughts about women in the ministry. Well, in the teachings of Islam, we know that the only difference between man and woman is biological. The morality and the spiritual mind of people have no sex. So at this time, we want to bring before you Sister Miller.